Future LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Backyard Barbecuer.
Mr. Backyard Barbecuer.
You've never once helped a little lady in the kitchen. You've never assisted her with the grocery shopping. But for some reason, when it comes to grilling slabs of flesh over an open fire, it's suddenly a man's job.
You love to handle your meat.
You know precisely how long it takes to cook every variety of meat. A steak, one beer. Brisket, three. An entire suckling pig. Can you say keg?
You're both getting marinated.
When the meat is fully cooked, you're half baked.
Try not to pass out in the fire. Yeah.
So the next time you're wiping barbecue sauce off every one of your appendages, be sure to thank the guy in the Kiss the Cook apron, passed out in the chaise lounge. Mr. Backyard Barbecuer, a real American hero.
Mr. Backyard Barbecuer.
Don't look now, I think the deck is on fire.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the Morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, Kara. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
September 1st, a new month.
Woo!
You know what it means? It means only 3 months before the holidays.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Only 4 months left in 2010.
How did this year...
This
how
world.
How the days happen?
Are you okay? Are you
I
awake,
am like
my friend?
This morning. I always wake up so not early, but I always wake up around 7, usually or 6:30 or 7, and then I go back to bed. Anyway, I'm up.
Yes.
I'm up.
That's
this
good.
Morning I was bamboozled. I woke up, I was like
your
9.
Your eyes are all glazed and everything.
Yeah, that's what happens to you when you yeah, you know what I mean. That's what happens. So
yeah,
it happened.
I guess.
But no, this year's fast.
Uh-huh.
Is it extra fast?
It is extra fast. Yeah.
Why is it when you're a kid, you know, it just seems like everything is so long and it takes forever and you're like, I can't wait till I'm 10. I can't wait till this day
right.
happens.
I'll tell you what my theory is because you've only lived a few years. So, for example, if you're 10 years old and a year is like 1/10 of your life.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 50, it's 1/50th of your life. So it's not such a big period anymore. So,
well, that's an interesting
point.
You know,
the years just go by faster because they're not... You know, the smaller fractions of your life. I think that's what it is, but it's a little too complicated, I think.
Oh, that's so interesting, though. That's kind of interesting. Yeah, maybe I'll go with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I've got good theories.
There you go.
Yeah, trust me.
Yeah, I know you do, Sam. Oh, man. So how are you doing?
Good, good. You look good in purple.
Is this purple?
Is that purple or is it blue?
I don't know.
It looks purple to me.
Okay. You like
yeah.
it?
I like it.
There you go. I found it on the floor.
Yeah.
I rummaged.
That's where you find all your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Found it on the floor. Threw the skirt on.
Uh-huh.
Shoes are not fastened.
Right.
Not buckled.
Yeah.
Did my makeup in the car. That
uh-huh.
is so not the right thing to do. If you're a makeup person in your car, and I put myself in this category, don't do it because it is so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I'm so good at it.
And yet you do it.
And I'm so good at it.
Yeah.
But it's bad. It's another thing you should get a ticket for.
There you go. There you go. Well, maybe you should walk up to a cop and ask him for a ticket.
No, I've already got a couple I need to pay. I've already got a couple I need to pay. The
yeah.
parking tickets, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So, that's cool. So let's bring in our guest. We have a guest in the studio, and we have Terry LeGrand. Terry LeGrand, good morning to you.
I'm here. Good morning to you guys.
You're
glad
here.
To be here this
and
morning.
Yes. Thank you for coming in.
Good.
Terry's got his own show on the station,
oh,
and
cool.
it's called The Alternative on Sundays from 6 to 8. on Channel 1.
It's exciting.
And, yeah, and you've been around for a while, right? You've been with us for a long time.
Yes, I have been around for a while.
I didn't mean that.
I mean, my life now is 1/70th of what it used to be.
It's
so
true.
I mean, you know.
So time even flies more for you.
You're not kidding. I mean, you know. I thought this was Memorial Day coming up, you know, and it's Labor Day. So I've lost.
It is Labor Day.
I've lost 2 or 3 months.
It's, I know. I never remember who comes first, you know, which comes first, Memorial or Labor Day.
Mm.
But apparently now you said that it's going to be Labor Day.
It's going to be Labor Day this weekend, right?
Yeah. Any big plans, Terry? Why am I calling you like Telly, Gary?
I know, everybody. I get all these names, all these strange names. Yeah. No, I don't have a lot of plans. You know, when my show's on Sunday, it kind of breaks up a weekend, you know. If it's a holiday weekend, you can't, like, go out of town for, you know, 4 days or something, unless I get the lovely Sheena Metal or somebody to come in and do the show. So, you know, you're sort of stuck here, which is great, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to go out of town on a holiday weekend, you know,
there's just
too many people out there, you know. So, I mean, I try to stick around and maybe do some things, maybe barbecue or something, you know, a pool party if I get invited. If not, no pool party.
First of all, you got to have a pool.
Yeah, so. There you go. So you got to be invited somewhere.
Yeah, I don't have a pool. I think I could go for a pool this weekend.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Be a bad idea.
Yeah. Huh? Anybody got a pool? Anybody pulling it up?
Yeah.
Let us all know.
I think they have those blow-up ones on sale, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Those horrible ones. You know, you spend all your energy blowing it up, then you don't have enough energy to get in the pool because you're exhausted trying to blow it up and fill it with water, you know.
Yeah, no, that's not fun.
Plus, you wouldn't fit in there, Terry. I mean, it's for kids.
Well, I know, but, you know, I can flop around and, you know, look like a dead walrus or something.
Yeah.
But.
I know.
So tell us a little bit about you. Were you born here in L.A.?
No, I was actually born in Holland.
Oh, really?
And then, I've been in L.A. about 30-some years.
Really?
And came here I was born in 1939. Boy, that really tells you how old I am, isn't it? But
yeah.
I could have been one of those Anne Frank people, you know.
You could have been.
I could have, but you know.
Are you Jewish?
No, you're not
Jewish.
My father's Jewish.
Oh, really?
My father's Jewish.
So you still would have had problems.
Yeah, and I sort of look Jewish to some people. As you say, your nose doesn't fit in the Starbucks cup, so, you know.
That's funny.
But my mother was not Jewish. So,
I see.
So anyway, I came here and...
How old were you when you guys came out here?
I was a year.
A year, so 1940.
Yeah.
Oh, during the war.
Oh, right during the war.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So, but my parents were American.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, kind of went on there. I'm not quite sure what involvement my dad had with the government, and but he had some sort of involvement.
Really?
So, yeah. So, so anyway, I'm here, and that's great. And we moved to Denver, and so I also have credentials in Denver. Mm-hmm. It's actually where my birth certificate also was registered. So
I see.
I'm sort of a dual citizen, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so you still have the Dutch citizenship, right? Because you were born there.
Yes, yeah.
How cool is that, huh?
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, you can go back anytime
Holland,
I want to go
man.
Back. Isn't it great?
Yeah.
It's so liberal, you know. But,
it really
you know,
is.
Today a lot of the Muslims are moving in there, and, you know, they're changing the whole atmosphere of
the
country.
Yeah, that's
and,
Europe for you, man.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, trust me. Everywhere they are.
So Amsterdam has got a lot of Muslims now, huh?
Yes, they have a lot of Muslims. In fact, they're, you know, I think the whole flavor of Amsterdam is changing.
Yeah.
But, you know, things change all the time. But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, they're on the prostitutes, which are legal there, by the way. They're on the marijuana, which is, of course, legal there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're on the drugs, which, of course, is legal there. And,
I know. You give me marijuana and hookers, and I'm there, you know.
Have you been there?
Oh, yeah. I've been there 3 times.
Were you with a hooker?
No, I went with a hooker. I mean, I never have
you
been,
went with
you
a
know?
Hooker.
Yeah. I never...
So did you, I mean, did you sample, did you do everything? You get loaded? Did you
yes,
get a prostitute?
Yes, I did that, but no, I just watched the prostitutes, never really utilized their services.
Oh, you never hired
yeah.
one?
Yeah, and the funny thing is I did go there once before I even met my wife, so I was single at the time. I still didn't go to them.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was kind of afraid, but...
It's probably a good fear, huh?
Yeah, it's not like, yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's just the atmosphere there is full of sex, though, you know, and... So that's
I think it's kind of strange. If you go to the area where the prostitutes are, say in the evening, you know, they actually have windows.
Right.
It's like window shopping. It really is window shopping.
And it's like really the smallest alleys, you know? I mean, you can touch both sides of the walls when you walk there. It's that
interesting.
Narrow.
And the girls sit in the windows and, of course, try to entice you to come in and be a customer. And then if the shades are drawn, then obviously, you know, they're busy.
They're busy.
You know, I always find that to be fascinating. But then if you go at like 9 o'clock in the morning, the prostitutes now are like 50, 60.
Really?
You know, the whole mother types. It's a whole different atmosphere during the day where they have these very voluptuous sexual girls at night, you know, that are working. You go to the same window at 9 o'clock in the morning and, you know, grandma's there.
Yeah, so they've got flavors for everyone.
So it's just, they're just kind of rotating the different kind of styles or different
I guess so.
Preferences.
Yeah, and I don't know whether the maybe because the customers during the day are looking for more of that type of person. I have no
idea. Maybe the uglier ones can't get the nighttime position.
Well, apparently there's something for something for everybody. A friend of mine works in porn, and she said, you know what? There's really not a certain kind of porn that way outperforms the other. She says.
Right.
Today
it's like all the niches, all
the
different
versions. You'll find that there's something for everybody, and it's kind of like maybe not necessarily equal, but it's very close. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's got a particular fetish for something, and I get amazed sometimes when I see what porn is out there. You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, wow, I mean, pregnant women and all the rest of this stuff. And I'm like, you know, that is, as I say, that's not my particular niche. But,
there you go. So now, do they have gay hookers there as
no,
well?
No, I wish they did. Well,
because that's interesting that they wouldn't, huh?
Actually, they don't. Well, they don't and they do. They don't have gay hookers hanging around the windows.
Right.
But they have gay hookers that are there, and they have some clubs that the gay hookers work out of.
Oh, I see.
But, it's a lot more difficult for a man to be a hooker.
Yeah, that's
because,
true.
Because, you know, it's like, you know, wham, bam. Not trying to say I'm a wham, bam, bam guy, but, you know, it's now I can't even wham.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you get
that's
to a certain age. But, you know, like, we're done, baby. You know, I'm going to have that beer. You know, I finished this up. Rather the women can, you know, have...
They can go on for a while.
Yeah,
huh?
They can go on for a while. They can have multiple partners, but men normally run out after the first time, and, you know, by the time you are ready for the next one, it's like 4 hours or something down the line. So, but they do have clubs where there are male hustler type of guys that, you know, they go dance, and that's really how they make their money, and people stuff money down in their shorts and...
I see.
Pat him on the butt, and you know, depends what you know, how much money that cost you to do that. You
right.
know, so
But
sort of that's where it is. I mean,
makes
it's much
more,
different
financially. It's just more lucrative that way. You think for like a gay prostitute or model?
Well, no, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think women make a lot more money.
Absolutely. No, I mean for a gay guy, is it probably better money for him to dance in the clubs?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Absolutely, yeah, because sure. And then they do private parties afterwards, you know. So,
So you go there sometimes now?
I haven't been there in probably 8-10 years.
Oh, I see.
It's
okay.
been a long
so
time
is,
since I've been there.
It has
there.
Changed
yeah.
quite
oh,
a bit.
Oh, it's changed a great deal.
Yeah.
From what?
But it's a beautiful place to go. You know, Kira, even if you're not into these things, into all these sins, you can still have a great time there. You know, they've got great museums.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
A lot of history. Yeah. It's a beautiful city. All canals and it's just beautiful, you know, so I definitely recommend.
It's on my to-do.
It's
on my
it?
To-do, all of it. Gay hookers, all of it.
100 places to go before you die.
Gotta do it. Gotta get
She'll
in there.
She'll be down looking for the gay hookers on the Kaiserschmarrn or something.
Just figure out. Be like, why don't you want me? Why don't you into me? Well, I'm not pretty enough for you. you know?
Yeah, so so that's cool. Now, how many years have you been gay?
Well, see, I was born in 1939, so...
I thought it sounded funny.
No, I'm not one of those people. You know, there's a lot of guys that, like, come out...
Later in
life,
you mean?
They get married, they have a lot of kids, and then they come out later on in their life. But, I mean, I've always been gay, and I'm so comfortable being gay.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, I don't hide it from anybody. It isn't that I, here, I'm looking at my hand now as I'm flipping it around. Here, but, I was going to say, I hope I don't have lots of gay mannerisms, but.
No, you really don't. You really don't. You know, I mean, the gaydar doesn't really pick you up, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you're under the radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but no, I've, you know, I don't remember, any time in my life when I probably was not gay, I don't know.
Right.
I think the doctor delivered me was gay because my mother kept saying, "Oh, he's such a nice guy, the doctor. I wish you would have been able to really know him. He was just lovely." And so probably when he slapped me on the ass the first time or whatever to get me to cry, that was it. But I've always been comfortable, and my parents have been comfortable. Everybody around me has. I mean, even when I was in school. We get so many people come on my show that, you know, talk about when they were children and, you know, they were in school or they're being harassed all the time and people are calling them faggot and, you know, their life is miserable. And then, you know, a lot of instances, the parents, you know, have just rejected the child for being gay. It's
terrible.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing. And especially in the days when I grew up, I mean, you know, this was not like acceptable like it is today. It's a lot more acceptable today.
So,
I never had problems with that. I mean, in school, if people, you know, called, we didn't really use the word gay then, you know, but I really like the word queer. I always think that's a good word.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, people would call you a sissy or whatever. I just laugh and go on and, you know, that was it, you know, and
good
I really never had any problems with people beating me up or anything because I kind of, in my younger years, liked to fight myself.
See.
So I was like, you know, come on, you know, call me a name and, you know, swing at me so we can get in a fight here. But, you know, it was one of those things. So I'm very comfortable being who I am. And I always have been.
That's good. Now, so at what age do you feel you discovered your sexuality? You know, just being aware of yourself and stuff.
Well, you know, probably at a pretty young age, but probably I think everybody goes through that.
Right.
I mean, you know, men, you know, kids start masturbating, you know, probably about the same age. Women do too. I mean, you become curious and you know, it feels good. So you know, play with yourself or whatever. So,
right.
I don't know. I always, a lot of gay guys, especially younger gay guys, when they're younger, they try to hang around a lot of women, you know, because it kind of covers them up type of thing. And they have a lot of girlfriends.
But yeah, but they also manage to get along pretty well with women.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, I think we do. I mean, I've never had a fight with a woman.
Yeah.
Don't attack me, Kim. We have my first time here.
No, I'm not that mean. Only Sam.
But, you know, and today we call them, you know, names like fag hags and that type of thing of women that like to hang around with gay men. But I think, you know, we're great to go out with. If your hair's wrong, we'll fix it for you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't
you
have to worry
about
putting makeup on in the car. We'll do it for you.
So, you can talk about men.
You can all talk about men and go out and have a good time. And I think women feel a lot more protected.
Right.
Because if they go out with a gay guy or something, they know that, you know, not everybody's going to maybe come on to them if you go to a bar or something. And,
right.
So, you know, and today I think in most young folks, it doesn't matter whether you're gay or what. It's sort of a metrosexual world, you know. You know, you have the glam people, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, I love the glam people, but I don't think glam people really know exactly who they are. In a lot of instances, whatever comes along, they come along. You know, if they're going with a guy tonight and tomorrow, they may go with a girl, and the next day they may go with a guy and a girl, and you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, today it's a very metrosexual type of atmosphere out there, I think, with all young people, whether you're gay or not. And there was a period, of course, when we were really a lot more, you know, accepted. I mean, it used to be, you know, probably 20 years ago where, you know, people would say, oh, this is my gay friend. You know, and people wouldn't refer to you like, well, this is my friend Terry. They'd say, oh, this is my gay friend Terry, you know.
They had to point it out.
Yeah, you know. So that, and then AIDS came along, and that kind of devastated everybody. A lot of people went back in the closet because it was so devastating. And so many people were afraid of it, you know, and gay people were afraid of it. So I think when AIDS came along, it really set us back some. Mm. But now, now I think we're pretty much out there. I mean, especially, you know, look at television. There's so many gay characters on television that you never would have seen before. We have gay marriage, which, you know, is going to happen sometime. Yeah. Sometime it's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. It's just a matter of time.
And, you know, hopefully here in California it's going to. And there's a lot of gay ads. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you drive down the street, you see billboards and things with gay people on the billboards. And so, you know, print media and everything else is out there to, you know, I think make people a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
And that, and that's one of the things I try to do on our show, mm-hmm. is it isn't about me. It's a show for the community only. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of people that get on the radio that are gay hosts.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm right in your face.
I see.
You know,
okay.
you've seen how I operate.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
I'm right in your face. It's a show for gay people. If you don't like it, tune to Channel 2 or go someplace else.
I say, don't like it, don't listen.
That's right. You know, if you don't like it, don't listen. But our purpose is to educate and to inform people about our community and also to entertain. So I'm pretty careful when we pick guests that most of the guests that are on our show are gay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just pick people because they're nice people to pick.
I see.
They're gay.
So it's got to be relevant.
Or they have something connected to the community. Or they're people living with AIDS, or people that are really affected by AIDS or whatever. And that's, if you look at the whole premise of the show, that's what it's about. And you would be surprised how many emails and things we get from young people that in Africa, as an example, I don't think it's Malawi. Malawi, something.
Yeah.
They, it's actually against the law if you're gay.
Really? I mean,
if you're gay, period. It's like Uganda, you know, they want to chop off our heads.
Right.
But it's against the law. Not that you perform a gay act.
Mm.
If you're gay, period.
Really?
And a lot of people have problems, or the transgender people that live there, but they can't have any gay media. I mean, we have a lot of gay magazines that are out that are, you know, for the gay for the gay community, and it's against the law if they catch you with that.
Yeah.
So they listen to this show of mine on Sundays, and a group of them gather, you
really?
Know, and then they send me emails, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's cool. But I guess if somebody comes in, they could push a button or something, and you know, they could have Dr. Laura on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, speaking about gay, but I mean, they could have Dr. Laura on, but. I mean, it's amazing when we think of the freedom we have here. I mean, you know, gay people are saying, well, you know, we need more freedoms. We need more of this. But there are parts of the world just being gay or the perception that you're gay, whether you're gay
or not. Like, how would you persecute somebody for being gay if you didn't even catch them in an act of sexuality? You know what I mean? That's such a weird...
In these places in the world, you don't need... proof. You do whatever
I guess
the
if there's a
want.
Law like that to start off, it's probably all just jacked up here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they kill whoever they want.
Yeah, they just feel like it.
Yeah,
and
it's terrible.
People can turn in people.
Right.
So it can become very punitive.
Right. Wow. Yeah. So it's all relative as far as, as freedoms and things like that.
You know, I think living in this country, being gay or being, you know, whomever you are, I mean, we have to look at how grateful we are, even though, you know, there's a lot of things wrong with this country, but there always is things wrong with the country. You know?
Right, right. Now, you know, going back to gay marriage and things like that, it's obviously controversial, you know. My question is, I know many people that are that love gay people, and yet they oppose the marriage, the gay marriage. Have you seen that? I mean,
well, I think that of course, I think what's wrong with this country is religion. I mean, that's always been my philosophy. If you get rid of religion in the world, you'd have a very peaceful world, surprisingly.
Obviously,
we won't get into that discussion. But I think it's all religious based. You know, people go to the Bible all the time, and you know, well, God said that it'll be And I don't think God said any of that stuff. I mean, you know, people wrote it in the Bible. But I think it's all religious-based why people say, well, you know, you guys are great, and I think you should have domestic partnerships, and you should be able to go visit your boyfriend or your girlfriend who's in the hospital or whatever. But I don't know, the marriage thing just doesn't set good with me, you know, because I, you know, and it's this thing we've been indoctrinated that marriage is between a man and a woman. And I think a lot of gay people have a problem with that, too. Not every gay person out there is for gay marriage.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
There's a lot of people that, and I just think it's upbringing that we've had. But I look at it this way, that two people that are in love, no matter who you are, should have the same rights as somebody else. I mean, the Constitution says we the people, and that's what it is. We are part of the we's. And it doesn't affect your life if, if you're not gay. What does it affect your life?
That's why,
that's the whole point. There's no direct effect on you. It isn't going to affect you at all.
Right.
In fact, in the state of California, as an example, it'll really help our revenue. I mean, you know, I mean, gay people, honey, can have a party. And you can imagine if they go to have a wedding. I mean, that wedding, you know how much weddings cost today to just that heterosexuals spend on weddings. Well, I mean, gay people, it's got to be more fabulous, dear. So, you know, it's more flowers and more decoration and, you know, more whatever. So, you know, and I think it would help the revenue. And beside the point, if people are happy, you know, and they want to live together and they want that, you know, title to say that they're married because they have those benefits, then I think it should be available. And a lot of people, it isn't the marriage thing to say, well, I'm married. It's because you get the benefits.
Right.
Being married that you wouldn't get otherwise, tax-wise, et cetera. Not with the federal government, but with the state of California, anyway, or whatever.
Well, let me ask you, just because I just want to extract the issue, and you brought up, you know, people that are love gay people, but they're not, they don't, they're not down with marriage, and you're saying, well, the drive is for the benefits, right? The drive is for the same rights.
Same rights as everybody else. Is
to be a part of the we, right?
Sure.
Okay, so let me ask you this: if it's about rights. You know, my question here, and, you know, not to challenge, because I totally respect gay people, I respect the gay community, but to really understand is that sometimes I feel like it's about, is it about acceptance or is it about approval? And I feel like sometimes the movement is about, can be about belief modification to other people. And hear me out when I say this. It's not about, you know, doesn't just stop with, well, we want rights and we want to be part of the we, which I completely agree. I don't think it's my place to tell somebody who they could be with or the lifestyle that they want to have. But as unpopular as it is, what I'm saying in California, I feel like people have the right to hold to their beliefs of their views on, you know, sexuality or marriage without there being, you know, any kind of discrimination towards them either. And I feel like it's a really weird, touchy situation where, you know, if people do want to believe in the Bible and they do want to believe, you know, because the word marriage is actually it's a theology-based word.
Sure.
You know, whereas, you know, marriage is formed, you know, is through the spiritual religious eyes, if you want to say, quote unquote, but the actual partnership is government, is the government side. And so if, you know, if same-sex couples wanted to have a partnership where they had the same exact rights as heterosexual partnership and it didn't have the same title marriage, would that still be a problem is the question.
Well, we do have domestic partnership law now in the state of California.
With all the same rights.
We just don't exist. Not quite all
the
same rights.
Okay, so I mean, I can see that,
The difference is things like taxes.
Okay.
Okay. Which, of course, the state of California, if you're legally married, whether you're a same-sex couple or not, you get the benefit of the taxes and all. It makes things in some, there are some people that still have a problem, and they probably would have the same problem if it was marriage, with accepting some of the rights on domestic partnerships, even though by law they're supposed to, but there are still hospitals, still places where, or families that live in the Midwest that, you know, their kids are out here and they have a domestic partnership relationship and something happens, one of the partners die and the parents, you know, come in and, well, this is belong to my son and this is all going out the door. Even though there's domestic partnership, some of that doesn't legally stand up in court, you know. Rather, if you're married, so...
Well, is it maybe that the domestic partnership isn't up to par then? Is it not considered the same legal weight, is what you're saying? It doesn't have the same totality as far as the rights?
Well, personally, I think domestic partnership works. Okay. But there are a lot of people that want that word marriage in there because they want to be just like the couple next door. And I think marriage is more of a religious thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I have to go to that. I mean, I think that if a church doesn't want to marry anybody, they don't have to marry anybody. But, you know, I find it to be more religious when mm-hmm. you have this binding.
Yeah, it's because, a theology word, yeah.
Sure, because most weddings take place in churches. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but a great deal of them. But so I think there's a lot of religious background mm-hmm. that makes marriage, that stigma mm-hmm. that, you know, some people have. I think when it comes to same-sex couples, I think most same-sex couples want the same rights, period.
Okay.
And I don't know that there are probably some people, you're right, Karen, that probably push the marriage issue because, I want to be in your face with it, and I want to do it because mm-hmm. I can do it. And
Or they just, I mean, I can see, you know, if I was in that situation, I don't blame people for wanting to be seen as the same. I just, it's intolerant. It's just as hypocritical to want tolerance and then not extend that tolerance for people that don't believe the way you do. And the people that of faith or whatever their faith may be, they have the right to not agree and see it from a different perspective.
Oh, absolutely.
And but the thing that I've seen, you know, in the state of Massachusetts and other places is that, you know, when same-sex marriage was legalized, it was then putting in jeopardy faith-based organizations that they didn't believe in marriage, they didn't believe in it, and then they were going to be penalized for not, you know, adhering to what the law said, but it violates their faith. And I think that's a side of the coin that people aren't seeing. It doesn't make you a homophobe or a bigot or that you don't want them to have rights, is that people still want to be able to maintain their views and their beliefs and not be legally penalized for it. And I think that that's part of the conversation that, you know, it is a two-way street. I mean, tolerance is a two-way street, you know? And I mean, that's why I ask myself, you know, like how much of it's about acceptance versus approval. And I don't blame them for wanting approval. I mean, I'd want approval too. I don't blame them, but there's things in my life I want approval for I'm not going to get. And I have to have tolerance for people that aren't going to agree with that, you know?
Right.
And I kind of see that as being a part of the conversation that you don't see.
So,
you know?
So are you saying that in some instances, or you think that there's discrimination against people that are not for same-sex marriage because of, I don't see any impact on it. I mean, I think if you're not for same-sex marriage, that's fine. Mm-hmm. If your beliefs are that marriage should be for a man and a woman, mm-hmm. I think that's fine. I would never be out to change somebody's belief there.
Well, I don't think you would. I think, but I've seen stuff. Yeah. I think there's a part of it, part of the agenda. There's some of that. You know, it's normalizing and belief modification. And, you know, if you don't agree with it or have a different set of views, you're automatically classified as a homophobe or a bigot. And I mean, that's
I see your point.
Yeah, that's very
random.
But even from a legal standpoint, like if you look at the state of Massachusetts, when they did legalize same-sex marriage, I mean, some of the, you know, I'm not Catholic, but some of the Catholic churches were in about to lose their nonprofit sector status.
I didn't know that.
Yes, things because they weren't going to marry, you know, same-sex couples and things of that nature. So it violates what they believe, but yet that was in violation of the law. And so to me, that's where it's kind of like, well, you know, marriage is a theological based word. You know, the union, the domestic union, whether you're hetero or same sex, is a government based, you know, union. And I really wonder if everybody had the same rights, why are we fighting over, you know, if people want to maintain their beliefs and other people are, you know, have the same rights. I don't see, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the answer is open dialogue. You know, I mean, and you've got to be able to discuss this and communicate about it. And I see where Kira is coming from. You know, because it is like if you criticize the gay marriage, then you know you're against it. But or you're against gay people. You know, but that's not necessarily the case. You know, although personally, I'm thinking like, you know. It doesn't hurt me if there is gay marriage, you know. I don't care what they call it, you know. If people can have equal rights and stuff, that's fine, you know. But I think what Kira is saying also is it's not right for either side to impose their views on the
other. And I totally agree to that. Right. I mean, you know, I wouldn't look at somebody that's not for gay marriage. And I have friends of mine. I have gay people that are not for gay marriage. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't call them homophobe or say, well, you know, you're not for gay marriage. You're not with
it. You
seem
like a much more, like, with it kind of person. Yeah. There's
I know. I
mean, you're in the gay community, so I'm sure you're aware of, you know, and especially in L.A., I mean, it's so... You know, and it's not my MO. It's not my thing, you know, to be like, I'm not into like telling people who they should be with. It's not my place. It's not my place to go around and, you know, stop people from wanting to have rights by no means. But I do see that it's not a fair playing ground because it's so I've seen people that, you know, if their views do come out, it can jeopardize their careers in entertainment.
Right. Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of weird, you know, backwards in the sense of like, you know, two-edged sword, you know.
And that's because, you know, we still have the stigma, you know, in this country that it's not okay to be gay.
Right.
And I think part of the gay marriage thing is to make the statement, it is okay to be gay. You know, we can get married, we can raise children, we can adopt children, we can do the same things anybody else can do. And we're part of this country. And I think I think there's a lot of philosophy there of not particularly being better. I mean, I would hope that we weren't, you know, having gay marriage to think we're better than someone else. But, you know, I look at marriage as being a religious thing, as you do. And I think if a church wants to not marry same-sex couples, I think they have the right to do that. Now, I may disagree, you know, because as you, I'm kind of unaware of what was going on in Massachusetts there with the Catholic Church at all. But, you know, I may disagree with them, but I'm not going to go out and probably picket them because, you know, they wouldn't marry us because I'll go somewhere else, you know. I mean, there are some churches that don't welcome gay people at all.
Yeah.
There used to be churches that didn't welcome black people.
Yeah.
You know, so and there are some churches that still don't accept women.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, there's not like equal rights for everybody ever involved in religion. I've never seen it ever happen. Mm-hmm. I've never seen, I mean, there are some inclusive churches out there, I know, that accept everybody.
Yeah.
But if you look at the big picture, there's the Catholic Church is an example. I mean, women are, they're fine to be the nuns and get up and read the, scripture, but, you know, they can't be priests.
Right.
And then there are other religions that women can be priests and people won't go there because they say, well, I don't think a woman should be a priest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are still some places that, I mean, some of the churches just opened up within the last few years like to accept black folks. I mean, the Mormon Church is an example.
I know.
Which I even hate to call it a church, the Mormon cult, as an example, for years never accepted black people even to come into the temple, you know, and that still goes on in so many places. So, you know, I just, you know, if it was all equal every place else, then I would say, yeah, I think maybe we have to look at it a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that when you want to be part of the we, everybody has to be part of the we.
And I agree with that. I mean, I have nothing against, you know, anybody wanting to live their life and being able to do so with freedom, you know. I mean, I want to protect that for everybody. And that even, but, you know, for some people, what that means for some people is that, you know, is it okay to be gay? Well, you know what? That's an in-house debate, or that's a personal individual. It goes into people's beliefs. And so, you know, do I blame anybody to wanting to normalize gay or, you know, promote it as, you know, it's okay? Not at all. But at the same time, people have the right to not believe that it's okay.
Sure.
And that's just kind of the two-way street to tolerance, you know, and it just is, you know, people have the right to whatever their faith is to go, you know what, this doesn't line up with what I believe.
Right.
And I don't have to agree with it.
I think mostly it's also, you know, being gay is not really a choice, you know, I mean, you're just like born or raised that way, you grow up that way, and we like to think that it's that way.
Well, I totally agree. Yeah.
I don't think anybody would choose to be gay, and, you know, because it's not easy. It's not easy being
very
gay,
difficult.
You know, so
a lot of people.
No, I have a lot of friends who are like, Kara would never choose to have this, you know, choose to have the lifestyle. I don't know. I mean, I don't have it all. I'm not here to argue whether it's right or wrong for sure. Everybody. I'm just saying the tolerance factor is a two-way street. And
I think that makes sense. I mean, yeah. I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying there. But, you know, we look at things sometimes on the flip of a coin. I mean, look what's happening in New York City with the Muslims. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a real people. I mean, you know, Muslims have existed in this country for years and years and years. And then we had 9/11, and now the Muslims are the bad guys. And, you know, they have the right to practice their religion as well as anybody else's. You might not agree with their philosophy, as you may not agree with people being gay. But, you know, they have the right to do this. So look at the backlash that's happening now.
But nobody's telling them not to practice their religion. It's just people are saying, be sensitive. This is sacred ground. And if it bothers a lot of people, don't do it. You know,
but it's blocks away. I mean, it'd be different if they built it right on the site.
I was confused when we had this conversation. I thought it was like smack dab in the middle of it, but it's actually not. It's actually just in the vicinity where there's
It's a couple blocks away. I mean, but it doesn't matter. That's not those are technicalities. The point is, a lot of people are not comfortable with it. You know, it's a place where a lot of people died. In the hands of Muslims, and people don't want this associated with it. And I think if Muslims are indeed the religion of love and peace, then they would heed to people's requests and simply do it somewhere else.
I think that they actually have. I think they have.
I don't know that they have.
I think that they have. But I think that's. When I first heard this, I thought it was right in the center of where it had happened, and it's not. That's why I was like, well, that to me is just not in good taste. You know, it seems like you're trying to make a statement versus you're trying to practice your faith. And then after hearing, oh, it's just in the vicinity of it. And it's also there's other faith buildings there of different faiths and there's other retailers. I was like, oh, well, you know what? They are well within their right. You know, I mean, I don't feel like they're making some kind of statement, whereas prior to that, I thought it was in the exact location. You know?
And what I think people forget is that they say about 10% of the people who died in the World Trade Center, towers, were Muslim.
Yeah.
I mean, people that just went to work.
The people that did it, were terrorists. You know, I don't know if just saying they're Muslims. I mean, you know, that goes into what your view of Islam is, but... they were terrorists, and there's a lot of Muslims that don't identify with that. And I think it's important for us to be sensitive to acknowledge the fact that, you know what, I mean, look, people of the Islam faith, you know, openly denounce that kind of activity, whether or not you believe that it goes deeper into the actual fabric of the faith, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's important for us to kind of go, well, you know what, that's terrorism.
Period. Yeah. I mean, I just wonder if the terrorists were all Catholic, would they go after the cathedral?
Well, and there's a lot of terrorism in Catholics. They're
sure. It's not just that. It's that, you know, we're in a state of war with Muslims in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And
no more Iraq now, we're all supposed to be out of there.
And the thing is this, is that essentially it's not just 9/11, but I think a lot of terror by Muslims around the world has totally transformed our lives. I mean, look at the hassle that it is to travel right now. You know, the airports and everywhere you go, it's like searching you and going through, you know, hell to get anywhere. And these are just some of the things that it's not that it just happened. There's a reason why. You know, there's a reason why people are afraid of Muslims.
Yeah, but you know? I just think
now,
that...
Now, you also have to remember, I'm sorry, but there's only 2% of our population is Muslim here, you know, so I think they hardly have the right to impose on so many other people, and especially people that have been hurt, you know. What do you tell the families, you know, that of 3,000, 4,000 people that died there, you know? And it's not just the families. I mean, people feel vulnerable and hurt by being attacked this way. And again, it's not just there. It's like everywhere in the Muslim world, they hate America.
Well, I mean, but you're talking about it as though, I mean, this would be a conversation that I would agree with if they were building a mosque right there. But they're actually just a few blocks down the road.
But apparently it's close enough to get people to be concerned and, you know, and to show they're sensitive, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand the sensitivity, but I mean, when I started reading about the article, they're there with other other faiths are there that practicing their faiths, you know, like, right. You know, I think there's a Catholic.
Right, but nobody has a problem with that.
I know, but that's not the way laws work. Just because, yeah. You know what I mean? You can't just say, you know what?
But it's not about the law. That's what we're saying.
But it is. That's the problem.
It's not that it's illegal to do it, but it's unethical to do it, I think. And it doesn't show sensitivity towards other people. And another thing I want to say is the Muslims in the United States have more rights than they ever would back home.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
You know, so for them to sit here and complain, I think is hardly reasonable.
You mean you're saying that who's complaining? The Muslims aren't complaining, though.
They're complaining.
Oh,
they're complaining they don't have enough freedoms here. And what I'm saying is they have more freedom here than they ever had in the countries they came from, or you know that their families have back home. So, you know, I don't know. I just think that other groups would probably be a little more sensitive and there'll be tolerance on both sides.
Well, I mean, I see your point. I don't know. I don't see it as vehemently as I did when I thought it was there.
Right.
You know, I was like, oh my gosh, well absolutely. That would be something that to me is like making a weird statement, but then I found out it's actually not.
So you're saying that the damage from 9/11 only happened in that square block?
No, but what I am saying is that the construction and all the commercial and all the buildings that have rebuilt their storefronts and rebuilding their business is a multitude of businesses with different faiths with different faiths involved, different organizations, and that you know, there's a McDonald's, there's a freaking, I think, what is it, like a Burlington or TJ Maxx, you know, there. Mm-hmm. I think there's a Catholic church there. I think that there's several different things going on that doesn't set them apart, you know what I mean, to not be able to build, you know, where they want to congregate. I mean, to me, I think that is, I don't think it has the same kind of, you know, influence and the same kind of, I'm trying to make a statement versus, boom, right there.
Yeah.
I see where you're coming from, but I don't.
Okay, well, we don't have to agree. We can agree to disagree on that.
Which is how it normally goes.
Yeah, there you go.
That's how it goes on the show.
So, Terry, tell us about the AIDS walk that you're part of.
Yes, thank you very much for allowing me to talk about it. AIDS walk happens every year. It's the 26th annual AIDS walk. It's happening on October 17th this year, and it starts in West Hollywood. And I'm trying to get together a team to represent LA Talk Radio.
Cool.
I mean, I think it'd be great if we all, all walk with our banner just really have a good time. There's so many people that say, well, you know, AIDS is under control, people are not dying from AIDS anymore, and people are living, and the last month of August I've been to two funerals of people that died of AIDS. That's just people I know. And so, I mean, people are still dying every day. We still need to raise money to try to find some sort of cure for AIDS.
Right.
And besides, it's a fun time to go out and march, and we can party, and, you know.
I love it. I'm down.
Have a good time. So I'm trying to get the other hosts that are on the station to do this, not for me, but to do this sort of encompassing LA Talk Radio. I mean, we have a banner, so we can march, you know, we can walk down the street together and maybe have some handouts or cards, just regular business cards or something we can hand out to people to make people aware of the station.
Right.
And, you know, and then maybe we can do, you know, the walk for breast cancer, or we can do the walk for something else.
Yeah.
It's just getting LA Talk Radio out there. I try to do as much as I can to do that, because this is such a great station and a great opportunity for people to share their ideas. And you've done a wonderful job, and I thank you
for
putting together a facility like this. I mean, this is a fantastic studio.
Right. It is,
I mean, this is as good as, you know.
And for the record, we love gay people here, so the
Oh,
more
I know
the
merrier.
A gay-friendly station. Okay, everybody, listen to Terry on The Alternative Sundays at 6 to 8 on Channel 1. And that's every Sunday.
Yep.
And that's that. I guess we are out of time. Terry, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's been
man.
A pleasure. It's
You're
really,
always
really nice meeting you, Kara.
Oh,
I listen to you all the time.
Thank you. So. Oh, thank you.
And she's very pretty, by the way.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Not
but
today.
She can't deal with the compliments too well.
That wasn't a compliment yesterday. That was a power move.
No, there was a lot of compliments here. But
no.
You, No, it was a power
when
move.
When you're trying to talk and a dude's like, "You're so hot. You're so hot." And he's right only when you're about to say something. That's called dominance and power. And it's true. Yeah. Like there's power in sexuality. So a man's trying to maintain and kind of control that.
That's how you perceive it.
That's not necessarily how it was.
Okay. Well, everybody, thank you all for joining us. Kira, thank you.
Terry,
thanks again.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You've been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.